He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the Monday, April 22nd version. Happy Passover Day. Of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And after last week's big sell-off, the Nasdaq was down over 5% last week. I'm seeing a little bit of a bounce here today, but it's a little on the anemic side. I hate to disappoint you. The Dow is up 108. That's 30 basis points. The Dow is at 38,095. The Nasdaq is up 105. I looked at a lot of individual well-known Nasdaq stocks. Yeah, you know, I see a little kind of anemic bounce so far. The Nasdaq is up 70 basis points, however, today. The S&P is up 0.5%. It's at 26. It's below 5,000 again. The S&P is at 4,994. Small caps, little bounce there, 40 basis points. Crude oil backs off 60 cents to 82.54 as things settle down a little in the Mideast. Why do I say that? Well, gold's down $61 per ounce today to 2,352. That's usually a pretty good indicator of Mideast tension. And the 10-year's up 2 basis points to 4.64. Bitcoin's up 1,100 to 66,000. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And we are back from Sarasota, where we had a great week there.
Yeah, and some great people.
Yep, looking forward to going back here maybe late summer, sometime in there. In the heat of the summer, you know, I like to sweat a little bit. And anyways, we had a really good trip. There is an old saying, when Gunderson goes on a trip, the market goes bad, you know, be wary. And I had somebody actually send me an email saying, hey, Gunderson, warn us. I did warn you that I'm going on a trip, and it got pretty wonky there, especially on Friday.
Yeah, of course, now, the market, obviously we don't control it, unfortunately.
No, but it does seem to have a tendency to go wonky when I'm traveling. Luckily, I had a 6 a.m. flight. I was home by 9:30 a.m. I was sitting in my desk managing money by 10:30, so... you know, I was able to take care of business. I didn't miss a beat. But Friday was a pretty nasty day. Well, you say, Gunderson, the Dow was up 211. Oh, well, I know that, but most people are invested in more of the NASDAQ tech-type stocks. The NASDAQ was down 319 points on Friday. And, you know, that, okay, look, it is a sequence of events. It began several weeks ago. I'd have to look back at my newsletters, maybe 7 or 8 weeks ago, when I said, look, this big uptrend that's been going for 16, 17 months, it looks like this cycle is coming to an end, and we're starting to top out. Okay, we're starting to level off.
And P.E. ratios being your first kind of first warning sign, really.
And then looking at the charts, it was like that plane. You know, we leveled off at 30,000 feet. And rode there for a while, but usually when stocks level off like that at 30,000 feet after a long, long run, they're either going to take off and break out to new highs or they're going to roll over. And, you know, if you weighed all of the facts, you add in that the P.E. ratio being very high, that led me to say, I think it's going to roll over. Now, it did roll over, okay? First, it began when the Dow leveled off first. And I said, well, you know, if this goes sequentially like it should, then the higher P.E. NASDAQ will eventually level off. The S&P leveled off. And then the NASDAQ leveled off, and it was very apparent. I mean, there was no question about it, okay? And then from there, okay, we saw the software stocks begin to level off, which eventually led to the NASDAQ leveling off. And I said, you know, the last shoe to drop is the one that's been the hottest, that has led us here. And that obviously is the semiconductor stocks, which were down about 10% last week, including a plunge on Friday where you saw NVIDIA drop 10%. And look, people have huge gains in NVIDIA. You know, we got in it almost, we got almost the entire ride in NVIDIA, and it grew. It has grown to a very large position. So that makes it vulnerable to profit taking, especially if there's any kind of a scare out there. And last week we had two scares in the semiconductor industry. ASM Lithography reported on Wednesday, and it wasn't quite up to snuff, especially their bookings. And then we got a second one warning on Thursday when Taiwan Semiconductor, they had a pretty good report, but it was like, you know, we're starting to see things slow down a little bit. And then on Friday, Super Microcomputer didn't really say anything, but they announced the date that they're going to report earnings, right? And normally they pre-announce their so the people took that to mean, oh, they're going to report that things are slowing down.
Yeah, normally they kind of give a bit of an update.
Yeah,
right?
A preview.
Kind of a preview, yeah. And I guess, you know, the fact that they didn't, does that mean, you know, could mean two things. Could mean
kind of silly.
Could mean they have too many sales and they can't keep up, you know, in terms of counting them, right? Or it's the, you know, the worst case,
yes,
other side of it where, hey, the news was bad. We don't want to give any news.
And I haven't seen Super Micro come along this morning and say, hey, so there may be something to it. And of course, they're tightly correlated to the AI stocks, which includes NVIDIA and ASML and Arista Networks and AMD and all the rest. So finally, the sell-off came home to the leaders in the market, which is generally that's the last shoe to drop. Now the question is, here's the big question, and I spent a long time analyzing all the evidence in my newsletter on Saturday. Is this the beginning of a bear market? Should everything be sold over the next few weeks or immediately or whatever the case may be? Or are we now in the midst of a correction? Where are the support levels? Do the fundamentals of the market support higher prices? Are we still in a bull market that began back in 2009? Or is the market starting to top out and roll over? And then the most important evidence of all would be earnings for the S&P 500 topping out and beginning to roll over. And even more importantly than that, if you want to find the epicenter of all of this, it would be, are earnings expectations going forward, topping out and beginning to be ratcheted downwards? And that therein lies the key to whether or not it's better to just ride through this, take a little bit of defensive action, take a little bit of risk off the table, take a little bit of the harvest that you've worked so hard for over the last 15 or 16 months, or is it time to run for the exits? Okay, so those are the issues out there, and I did my best analysis that I could possibly do, weighing all the various factors. I'm not going to tell you my conclusion. You can get my newsletter, damn it. I put in 2 weeks, I put in several, 6-7 hours of analysis. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter where I did my best to answer that question. What is going on here? A correction, or are we in the beginning of a bear? We haven't had one now for quite some time. We had a little brief one during the COVID. You can kind of write that off. But really, the last bear we had was 08 and 09. To get to
well, in 2022, we had
we had the Fed induced,
yeah, right?
But it never turned into a bear. I mean, it was a heavy correction. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Now, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about last week's chaotic week, the damage done, and we'll take a little bit of a dive into the technical analysis, because I think that's really, really critical right now. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Best Stocks Now show. Well, last week was the worst week in over a year, Barry. So get ready when we go to Minnesota, you know, buy some of those inverse ETFs in about 5 weeks from now. And, you know, that was the worst week in over a year. Here,
yeah, six days in a row. I think Friday was the sixth day in a row, trading session in a row, where the S&P 500 was down, which was, yes. I think, the first time since, or at least the 5 days when I was doing the show on Friday, 5 days in a row, that record went back,
yes.
I think, to November
and,
or 2020.
The Dow fared much better because some of that hot money coming out of Super Micro Computer and NVIDIA, etc., was probably going to Caterpillar and stuff like that. The information technology sector was down 7.3%. The hottest sector of all, the semiconductor sector, was down about 10% last week. Well, you look at utilities, they were up 2%. Consumer staples were up 1.4%. So you can see there was some risk taken off the table last week. And obviously, the highest risk area, the most vulnerable area, is the AI stocks. And I haven't seen yet, I'm surprised nobody has come up with a inverse AI ETF. But there are a lot of ways. I mean, there's...
They might have ran out of money before they got going.
Yeah, it would have went to... there would have been all these reverse splits and everything trying to save it from going to zero. But at the same time, you know, look, there's SOXL, which is three times inverse the semiconductors. There's SSG, which is two times inverse the semiconductors. There's SQQ, which is three times inverse the NASDAQ. There's the QID is two times inverse the NASDAQ, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that obviously is one way to hedge your portfolio. In a lot of cases, like I say, NVIDIA became a very large position in many people's portfolios. If you've ridden it for a long time. And there's a lot of people that have. It has gone on a run that has produced long-term capital gains. And so, I mean, it's vulnerable to some profit-taking. You know, now it comes down to the fundamentals. Once things settle down, will it be a good buy again? Well, you can go to the app and look up the five-year target price. And that should answer that question quite easily. But now it comes down to the technicals, and that's where it really gets dicey, and I'm going to get into that here in a minute. Now,
yeah,
this...
Well, and you think about what's the catalyst, right, to kind of change this course, right, and kind of, you know, get us back on the right track, right? And as you mentioned, it's earnings. I mean, we've got,
yep.
I think, Tesla tomorrow. You got Facebook, Meta on Wednesday, Microsoft on Thursday, and maybe even Amazon on Thursday. I don't think their date's set in terms of their reporting. But we've got to wait all the way to May 22nd for for NVIDIA to save us again, right?
Yeah. So, and it may not save us.
Right.
If NVIDIA misses, wow. I mean, yeah. Safety net underneath. Okay, so
you
now.
You get PCE, by the way, PCE inflation at the end of this week.
That's a big one.
Yep.
So earnings season, 14% in the books now, 14%, 86% to go. We've just barely scratched the surface. 74% have beat their earnings estimates. That's pretty good. 58% have beat their sales estimates. But so far, we're underperforming a little bit. We were looking for a 3.2% jump this quarter versus the same quarter last year. Right now, we're about even. We're looking for maybe a 0.5% jump. But that's after hearing from just 14% of the companies. And a lot of those were financials and Alcoa and Fastenal. 158 will report this coming week. 158. Now, here's some of the good news. The forward PE ratio, which was, you know, we were reporting, hey, this thing's in the high 21 area, 22 area. That's not good. It belongs closer to 19. Well, with this sell-off, we're down to 19.9 right now. And I was giving out numbers several weeks ago. I said, here's what we need in the way of a correction to bring that number down to 19. And we're about halfway there. Okay, so we've had about a 5% correction, maybe just a little more in the Dow so far. But we're still at a PE forward PE of 19.9. So I would just say that it's more likely that we get another 5% to the downside, then we turn around and regain that 5% that we just lost, just because I think the forward PE's got to go a little bit lower here. I think it's got to get down into the 19 area. Okay, that's one bit of evidence there. The PE ratio was 22.3, which isn't as bad as it was. I mean, we were pretty high there. Anyways, this correction so far has taken the forward PE down to 19.9. Now, the next critical thing is, and I think it really is important, if watching these charts and seeing these indexes top out, which I pretty much told you exactly when they were topping out 2 to 3 weeks ago, I can still remember the headline, topping out or something like that, leveling off. Remember, and you commented, I showed up the path of an airline.
Yeah, no,
off,
right.
Leveling off,
yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, it leveled off. And then it turned the corner, as I predicted.
Descent, yeah.
And went into a downtrend, okay? Now, you would have to have, for the S&P 500 to reach its 200-day moving average, which would be the obvious level of support, give or take 100 points one way or another, you still have 6% downside risk in the S&P 500. And it would also take 5 to 6% to work that forward PE down to the 19 area. So I think the most likely scenario is another 5, 6% to the downside, meaning I wouldn't be buying these little anemic pullbacks or jumps like you're seeing today. I've seen weirder things happen, but it would be weird for this thing to just all of a sudden stop correcting and turn around to the upside and get all enthusiastic once again. I think the fear right now is a little greater than the greed. Okay, the worm turned last week for sure. Okay, and then just looking at the inverse S&P 500. Now, the way we've played it, we have lowered some of our exposure to the hottest areas of the market. And you know what those are, number one. And we had big gains in those areas of the market. Number two, we picked on the most vulnerable areas of the market and put in a few inverse ETFs. That's the way we've chosen to play it. I think the wrong way to do it is to panic. Unless you're a trader. I talked to a trader yesterday, actually, at church, after church, you know. And I told him, look, the tide is going out right now. To be on the long side and putting new money is not right thing. Wait a few weeks here, okay? Let's let this thing settle down. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. And, you know, just from the technical analysis, you're about halfway done, in my opinion, with this sell-off. And it's also taking care of that excess in the forward P.E. multiple of the market here. And, I, if you're expecting this stuff to come storming back today and tomorrow from its, I don't think that's in the cards. You have to, and if people say, well, should I sell? Depends on what the stock is. You know, we sold a few last week, and we added some hedges last week because I think there's still further downside to all of this. Now, I go through those key numbers in the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow, and other areas, the chip sector. I did the software sector. That's in the newsletter in the technical analysis portion. Go to GundersonCapital.com. That's where most of the important information on how to handle this and in the macro outlook. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter, the full Monty, at GundersonCapital.com. Now, stocks in the news, poor Tesla.
Yeah, oh, and by the new, for a little blurb for the newsletter, and I think the next 2 weeks, you're going to really going to have a good, you know, you're going to have a good idea on that outlook because the fact that you're going to get, you know, so many companies are going to report this week and next week, and you'll have, what, you think you said 14%? So that 14% is going to jump
a big time.
Pretty significantly over 50 after the, you know, this week and next week.
Yeah. It's and you know you're getting some very important earnings this week
right.
from the big tech stocks.
Yeah, Microsoft's going to be a really interesting one on the 25th, which I think is Thursday, but that one's going to, you know, Microsoft's really one of those first ones that are going to really actually really release AI and use AI more than likely and they're the ones that are buying, one of the main ones that are buying up all the chips, right? So seeing what their CapEx spend is on Thursday will be an important number to
look at.
Because it's going to tell us something about NVIDIA, which is still a month away.
Okay, now the other issue that we've been dealing with, of course, interest rates. We're at 4.65. I've seen a lot of calls going back up to 5 just on their own. I've seen a few outside predictions of a rate hike. I don't see that in the cards myself, especially in an election year. I do see still the likelihood of a rate cut, and I would say right before the election would be the first one, somewhere in there. Now, the geopolitics is pretty obvious that things have settled down. I mean, Israel dodged a major bullet. I mean, literally dodged many major bullets, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, drones loaded with explosives. And then, of course, they struck back in a limited fashion. So at least for now, there seems to be no escalation. But obviously, it's not over. And, you know, the U.S. Passed the big bill to send money to the Ukraine, send money to Israel in that big massive aid package, which means the missiles will continue to fly, and I think Israel's next move is to finish off Hamas and then start worrying about Hezbollah. But obviously when Iran and Israel go head to head in the few skirmishes they've had here recently, more than a skirmish, then the market gets really, really nervous. Okay, the International Monetary Fund warns Washington on dangers of continued deficit spending. Well, the question is will they listen? I mean, is there any will at all? After they got warned by the IMF, they passed the big $95 billion aid package for. Oh, and it also included Taiwan, Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. And then the fourth thing in there is TikTok, right?
TikTok ban.
Yeah. Okay, so that's also interesting, and it's probably all going to pass. It has to go by the Senate now. All right, now, the pricing, how about a pricing war? Tesla lowered their prices, right? And guess what happened? Li Automotive came along and matched Tesla's price cuts. So he's in a world of hurt right now with Tesla. And, in fact, he was headed to India, Elon Musk, to look for some plants over there. And he called off the trip and said, look, I've got massive issues at Tesla. That stock is down another 4% today. I'm glad I got out of it. I do have an inverse, basically, because Sark, she owns a lot of Tesla.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you buy Sark, which is opposite Cathie Wood, you're getting a lot of Tesla. There's also an ETF that shorts Tesla, I think, 2 times. And there may be one that shorts Tesla 1. Which is unusual to have an ETF for just one stock.
Yeah, well, then you remember they started coming out with these option strategies for Nvidia in the other direction.
Yeah,
and then, you know, on the way up. So it's,
yeah,
I did see something that was interesting in terms of we talk about key person risk, right, with Elon Musk and Tesla, and from what I hear, he's actually redirected some of his time and attention back to Tesla, because
yeah,
of course, X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, has taken so much of his time and energy, and so it sounds like he's back to that business, focused on the business, and trying to he's not, from what I hear, he's not thrilled with how it's been run lately, and so he's
he's got, China is a massive problem for Musk,
for them and Apple. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you look at both of those reporting this. No, actually, Apple's
Tesla reports tomorrow, and it's hitting a new 52-week low today. Now, I will say this about the ETFs that are inverse some of these stocks: if you have an IRA, you cannot short Tesla. You can't buy. You can't go short. But you can buy an ETF that's inverse Tesla, right? Okay, the war battle goes on between Trump media and Citadel. Citadel is Ken Griffin. Of course, he's been shorting the heck out of Trump's media and being accused of naked short selling. And he says, firing back, he says, Devin Nunes, who's the CEO of Trump Media, is a proverbial loser. In which they reply about Citadel Securities has been fined and censored for an incredibly wide range of offenses, including issues related to naked short selling. It's what he's accusing them of, and is world famous for screwing over everyday retail investors at the behest of corporations. So anyways, it's a war of words, but...
And they now occupy South Florida together,
yeah,
too,
neighbors.
Correct?
Yes. Griffin's in Miami.
Yes.
And Trump, obviously, at Mar-a-Lago. Okay, we talked about the earnings week ahead and how important that's going to be. You got 144 S&P, including Tesla tomorrow. We're going to get GE. We're going to get Visa. We're going to get Pepsi, and then we're going to get Meta on Wednesday. Meta's been a little sloppy here recently. A little bit pressure on it. ServiceNow is going to report Alphabet on Thursday. That'll be a big one. Microsoft on Thursday. I'm going to say Thursday's the biggest day this week. You also get Intel, Roku, others. And then it slows down a little on Friday, but big oil starts to check in, Chevron, Exxon, et cetera. Bitcoin's halving has now taken place.
Oh, it did? Did it actually occur? Okay,
it
so they
went
hit that
through
block,
its,
huh?
Well, it went through its fourth halving event late Friday following a quadrennial software update in blockchain. So anyways, I mean, it's having a little bit of a jump here today. Salesforce has ended their talks to acquire Informatica. That may, you know, I would just say that the first one that's going to bottom is going to be the Dow. The Dow was the first one to roll over because of Boeing, then Salesforce going after Informatica, and then, of course, the problems with UnitedHealthcare. I'm kind of seeing those three big problems, and then you had a bad report from the insurance travelers. Those four problems are kind of behind us, so I would expect that the first index to bottom, I think it's got more downside, would be the Dow, and then the S&P eventually will bottom in this correction process, and then the NASDAQ will be last. The NASDAQ's really just started to sell off, really, as recently as 5 days ago. 13 new obesity drugs could hit the market, but don't get too worried. By 2029, in the interim, I'm seeing more and more people that I've known for a long time, you know, getting a new wardrobe because of the weight they're losing is starting to really sweep America, and I think it's only just begun. So I wouldn't worry too much. Right now it's two companies, Lilly and Novo Nordisk. Now, okay, we're getting a little anemic bounce. We're going to look underneath the surface. Should we get too excited here about a comeback after last week's big sell-off? Well, it depends on the individual stocks. We'll be right back. But I must choose the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what it's good for. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And, well, the Dow's up 80. Like I said, I didn't even really expect the anemic bounce in the market today to really hold. I mean, that's didn't seem really logical to me, and it's starting to lose it here. You know, the Dow is only up 80 now, Barry, and the NASDAQ is only up 22. And it's just obvious that the selling from last week is going to pick up again. And that's why those technical support levels become so important. So with an anemic move in the Dow, the bottom is not in yet from this correction that we're in. Amgen is up 1.4% today.
Yeah, is the NASDAQ down 2% at the moment? Is that,
no.
Am I reading that right?
No, it's up 20 points right now is what I see. 21 okay. points. All right.
Yeah, so I must be looking at them. I think I'm looking
maybe
at a
looking
stale.
For Friday. I'm looking
at a stale number, yeah.
You got to refresh your.
I'm actually looking at Seeking Alpha. I'm about to find another one.
Oh, yeah, they got something. Amgen is the big winner today in the Dow. Big deal. It's up 1.2%. Procter & Gamble, I think they report later this week. Big deal. It's up 1.3. Pfizer's up 1.3. Merck is up 1.2. Goldman Sachs is up 1.1. So there's nothing to get excited about there in this little bounce. The loser is Verizon. And look, you know what? I was looking at Verizon's track record on the app. What they've done for investors over the years. And Verizon is still in the Dow, and it is up today. But you go to Verizon's track record. I think the CEO would need to answer to this. You know, over the last 10 years, without the dividend, this is just the stock itself, down 1.5% per year, Barry. That's the average. So,
yeah.
In other words, it's down about 15, 20% over the last decade. Over the last 5 years, the performance has worsened. It's down 6.9% per year. That pretty much is the dividend yield. Okay, so anybody with any common sense would say, yeah, it's just like kind of, you know, you give someone $100,000 and they say, hey, I'll give you 6% return, and they send you $6,000 every year, and your principal goes down by 6%. So it's a wash, right? And then over the last 3 years, Verizon's been going down by 11% per year. Yet it is rare to see a big wirehouse portfolio transfer to us, Barry, that doesn't have Verizon in it.
Right.
Okay.
It's kind of the it's like the Johnson and Johnson, the Home Depot, the
why? I always say, why do you want to own that stock? Have you looked at the returns of it, or you just buy it because it's Verizon?
Yeah,
and like a lot of people have their plan, right?
And it shows up on a wirehouse list, right?
It's approved by the Mucky Mucks at Smith Barney for purchase in customer accounts. Okay, now we go to the S&P 500. Ford's up 4.5. I think maybe, you know, Ford is laughing a little bit at the struggles with the EV makers because they've backed off the whole EV train a little bit. Las Vegas Sands, Kohl's, I don't see anything that excites me there. There's nothing there that says, boy, the S&P 500 is going to pick itself up by the bootstraps here and that 5% that it's down is going to gain that right back up and break out to new highs. I don't see that in the cards. I think there's a little further downside risk here. And you're not seeing any of the big tech stocks, which took it on the chin last week. But they have huge gains. Who's complaining? The losers on the S&P 500, there's further downside selling in the AI stocks today, but nothing like Friday. Super Microcomputers down 2.9%, and Arista Networks is down 2.2%. And then I'm seeing Tesla, which has just had a horrible, horrible run.
Down 30%. I was looking at numbers year to date. I think down 30% on Tesla.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's the biggest loser in the S&P 500. Now, that's why technical analysis comes in handy. We sold it at 226.44, and that's at 140. We've saved ourselves 126 points on the downside because it didn't look good. That was back very late last year, early this year. It really started to look ugly. Okay, and then if we go to the NASDAQ, I don't think we're going to find anything too exciting there. We took some action over the last several weeks, actually. We bought PSQ quite some time ago, just figuring that, hey, this was going to come along. And right now in the NASDAQ, let's see if there's anything that can get us excited here in the NASDAQ today. The biggest winner in the NASDAQ, JD.com, a Chinese stock, up 4.6%. Vodafone up 2.9%. Trip.com up 1.8%. So there's nothing. In other words, nothing. NVIDIA's up 1.3%. There you go. There is a bounce in NVIDIA. It's up 1.3% today. It was down 10%, however, on Friday. Now, on the downside there on the NASDAQ, biggest loser, again, is poor Elon, down 4.7%. And Meta's been slipping here. Meta's down 1.3%. All right. Well, you know what? It's been easy. You hear people say it, that a blind man could have threw a dart and picked winners. Well, I don't agree with that because there's been a lot of big losers in the market over the last 18 months.
Well, you had seven. I mean, at one point you had only seven, right, that were making up such a large return.
Yes,
so you'd have to be a pretty good dart player, put it that way.
Now it's getting really tough, okay? Even if you had thrown seven darts and hit those seven stocks, it's getting really tough right now, and this is where the two most valuable tools out there are the valuations and the technical analysis, okay? That's why you have to deploy all the assets that you have to defend yourself. You have a layered defense of several different things, lowering exposure to the hot stuff, selling off the stuff that's really turning sour, putting in some inverse funds to protect on the downside, and keeping your powder dry until this is all over, and a combination of all of the above. If you're doing none of the above, then you're an index investor. And you know what? There's something to be said for that, yes, but if you're 75 years old, that's dangerous. Okay. Give us a call, 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. And have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.